Welcome back to Podcast on Infinite Earths, an unofficial DC Studios podcast. I'm your host, Tyson.
And I'm your host, Porter.
We just watched the episode 2 of the new season of Harley Quinn. What are your initial thoughts, Porter?
Initial thoughts are I'm liking it. It looks like it's just fun hijinks, and like we had hoped, talking in the last episode, we got characters that are initially Gotham-bound are in here, such as Bane and King Shark. So that was super fun. I'm glad that they showed up. Overall, just good vibes. I'm a little bit surprised they didn't build on the Brainiac thing at all yet, but I'm okay with it. What are your initial thoughts?
Definitely cool bringing back some of the old gang. It was fun to see King Shark. I remember we both laughed pretty hard with that introduction to him, this pan up and just his flat face. And yeah, more of just his kids and just how wild and rambunctious they are. That was a big theme this episode. I loved getting some backstory on Ivy. I mean, we're all fairly familiar with, you know, how she got where she is. But I mean, in this specific universe, there was a bit of a twist on it. So I kind of liked that they gave us the official backstory on that.
Yeah, that was really cool. It was, you kind of guessed it when the character showed up. You were like, I wonder if he has something to do with her becoming Poison Ivy, and sure enough, he did. But when she was like, oh yeah, like I'll work with him, like I'll, and she was kind of being friendly, and then it did the flashback and he like tried to kill her,
right?
We were like,
how, why would you work with him?
Yeah, there's no way. And then sure enough, she ends up trying to kill him,
which is kind of wild and maybe a bit dark for Ivy, from what we've seen thus far. I mean, she did have that kind of stint in the Villainous League, right? Oh, the Legion of Doom. And there were a few moments, right, where she went a bit darker, but she's kind of been on Harley's side, right, where it's just a bit more fun and goofy than actually, like, villainous.
For sure. I think Ivy's always been a villain that's not really a bad person, just kind of wants to do her own thing and doesn't want people getting in her way. Like, I never really see her as someone that's like, I'm gonna torture Batman's loved ones, right? You know, she's kind of the person that's like, oh, I'd like to have my little sanctuary of plants and people mess that up, and so I'm gonna get revenge, right? It's nothing. She's not really like sadistic in nature, so this was interesting to see her like go full on revenge mode. And with the professor returning, it'll be cool to see her grapple with that revenge feeling and see how she deals with it.
Yeah, but you make a good point that it's not sadistic in any sense. It is like very just tit for tat kind of based. So yeah, the fact that even though it was kind of dark the way that she took him out, even though it was similar to the way he tried to take her out,
yeah,
was essentially for revenge, right? It was just to be all like, this, we're even now. Like, it's just kind of crazy. What do you think the creature is that he turned into at the end? We kind of saw a plant-like claw,
right?
Like grasping the table.
Yeah, I'm not sure who it was. I don't know if it's an established character or not. You kind of mentioned beforehand that it kind of reminded you a little bit of like a scary version of Swamp Thing.
Yeah, maybe kind akin to like the Creature Commandos Clayface.
Right, just kind of that more evil plant creature. Yeah, I wonder if he'll become like a big bad, or if it'll be a case of like they're able to wrap him up in like one episode. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I do think there's a lot of potential there for character arcs and adding some more depth to Ivy's character, because she's usually been pretty baseline for a lot of the show, in my opinion. I don't think she's had a ton to do as far as character arcs and changing her beliefs and who she is as a person.
Right.
Relative to Harley, who really the whole show is about her changing who she is and finding her true self. It'll be cool that Ivy will get an opportunity to take a step further in that general direction.
Totally. I mean, she's kind of maybe moved a bit towards like hating people a bit less, specifically Harley, right? But outside of that, you're totally right. Like, just kind of maintain her nonchalant, just I do what I want, leave me alone.
Right.
Status quo, and it's easy to stay there, but it will be cool. I'm glad that they have more of Professor Woodrow. Yeah, because one episode does not seem like enough for kind of his backstory with Ivy.
That's a good point, right? Like his role in her life seems way too big to just be like one episode. It was kind of cool to see baby Frank. That was super cute, and I'm here for that. And I think her story itself was good because it kind of showed that like most villains, she didn't like want to turn out the way she did. She was kind of forced to,
right,
as a survival mechanism. And it's clear to see why she would kind of have that initial villain outlook on life, where it's like people are evil and, you know, eat the rich kind of mentality.
Totally. Just like a burning resentment.
Yeah. Totally able to see where she comes from now. It was also a lot of fun to see King Shark's kids some more. They're crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. Kids can be fun and all, but I don't know. Every time I see like these depictions of them, they seem messy. They seem not worth it. But maybe that's other people's kids.
Right. Totally.
They did a good job just kind of amping up just that annoying and uncomfortable kid energy.
Yeah, you're totally right. Just anyone thinking about having kids is like, we can wait a little bit longer, maybe. That's the kind of vibe it gives off, is that like worst case scenario for kids. It was also super fun surprise to see Bane and Goldilocks from kind of see where they picked up from Kite Man, which was super fun.
Right. Yeah, and kind of his whole last we saw of him was in the last season, his whole arc with the pasta maker.
Yeah.
He traveled to Italy and was trying to just like become the best pasta maker in the world so so Nora would love him finally, but he gets back and she says she doesn't care for pasta anymore. And that like breaks his heart. But, right. To bring back this whole arc with Goldilocks, and it's like her birthday party, and he's in like this ridiculous kind of medieval outfit.
With like the wig. The bowl cut wig.
Yeah, fun to see Bane again. And I forget her name. Who was the girl he was with?
I can't remember.
She's really familiar, but yeah, I'm blanking. It's been one too many months since I've seen those episodes.
Same. Yeah, you just watch so much stuff that little things like that kind of slip your mind.
But no, great point. Glad to have Bane back. And King Shark, even though he was only there for the beginning of the episode, kind of fun. I don't know if we'll see more of this Lady Shark that he was alluding to, but I love having him back. Hopefully more Clayface at some point, but
yeah, we're still holding out for that.
I mean, those are the most missed characters, I would say. I mean, Dr. Psycho, I could
take or leave, if I'm being honest. Yeah. Like, he's fine, but it's really Clayface and King Shark are the big side characters.
Totally, yeah. Dr. Psycho's definitely a bit of a one-string bit, and once again, right, he's fine, but just doesn't add much to the dynamic too much.
No, not really.
They kind of have this whole bit with Lena Luthor stepping in and accepting them into this new club, kind of like firming up her position as like an ally of sorts, kind of a friend, which, you know, could be leading to a bigger double cross or turnaround. We were discussing the possibility of the Luthor just like maintaining its credibility as just a bad guy, right? But it could be, right, that she is just building up her status as like an ally, like an actual, we can just expect the expected, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on her kind of playing that role in this episode?
Yeah, I mean, she's clearly trying to get Harley and Ivy on her good side. Mm. So I don't know if that's out of friendship or if she has some bigger plan. I do think that Luna letting them into the club maybe has significance. Like, I wonder if that's going to play a bigger role as far as they're allowed in the club, and if the Vincent guy is going to have a bigger role, because he was kind of dorky and fun. I liked him. And it's just one of those cases where it's like, you seem too good to be true, you know?
Right.
I don't know how much we can trust you as a nice character, but who knows? Maybe she's actually just a good person that just wants to get people together and Yeah, who knows? What are your thoughts?
That's a good way to describe it as too good to be true, because that is how they're building it up, right? It's just a friend that they now have and just powerful and go girl kind of energy.
Right.
But I'm almost curious if she's involved with Brainiac somehow. That seems like a very Luther type deal, is to just have friends in like very high places, right? So she like somehow has like a hand in introducing his robots into the city, or helping him maintain his status quo at 100% perfection, right?
That's a very interesting point. I didn't think about that at all. Yeah, because, I'm sitting here going, oh, well, Brainiac didn't show up in the episode at all. But maybe if Luna is working with Brainiac, maybe there is stuff about Brainiac being set up, but we just don't know it yet, like in the way she does things. Maybe she knows that Dr. Woodruff had a history with Ivy and she wanted her to, like,
Oh, take him out
yeah,
of
take him
Soul or something
out
like
or,
that.
yeah, mutate him. Yeah. Brainiac's obviously not happy with his perfection meter because I would imagine that not only have Harley and Ivy come in and messed it up for him, but surely the doctor turning into that green monster would have a kick on his mark thing, right?
Right.
So he can't be happy. So yeah, maybe he didn't need to be in this episode for stuff to be set up. Maybe it's just like the perfection meter at the first episode was enough for us to track in subsequent episodes to be like, oh, this perfection meter is just going down.
Right, to understand that like any of these actions or hijinks that Ivy and Harley are like acting in are kind of messing with his plans, which will kind of make him the bigger bad later on, because he just desperately wants them to be gone.
Yeah. Still waiting to, so I'm still curious to see what the deal is with all the Brainiac robots flying around and everyone's just like cool with. It's so strange to me.
I'm almost curious if the not that it would have to go this way, but that the country club of sorts would be almost like an Illuminati kind of Eyes Wide Shut type, like, not that it has to be
Right.
sexual, but like it would, kind of just be like a bigger bad, like pulling the strings, and that like there might be like, once again, I just think Brainiac kind of ties into like this Metropolis leadership type deal. That's the only reason he would have gotten in without, many complaints from anybody.
Yeah, the club could be like a base of operations and could also be kind of where Brainiac's hub is on in the city instead of a spaceship. Yeah, that's a good point, 'cause yeah, the club itself might have significance as a building and not just as like a status thing.
Right. But yeah, you make a good point that it could have more going on than just being, they made too big of a deal about them getting into the club at the end.
Right. Yeah, that'll be fun. So, some fun news. It's not anything too crazy, just kind of little blurbs here and there.
Yeah.
First off, James Gunn was talking a bit about the Elseworlds, which is just kind of the branding they're giving to DC projects that aren't in the like DCU canon timeline. So stuff like The Batman Part 2 and The Harley Quinn Show. He said that they're working on a logo to have like at the beginning because, with Creature Commandos, you have like the DC logo with like Superman breaking the chains, and
Right.
that's like the DC Studios logo, which is really fun. He says they're working on an Elseworlds logo to help differentiate stuff better.
That's kind of fun. So fans can go into it knowing it can be silly, goofy, dark, scary, whatever it needs to be, without being canon.
Yeah, but and yeah, that is a good idea. It'll be a good way to differentiate for common like moviegoers, like, oh, like okay, this isn't, it's a very easy thing to understand, right? You don't have
Right.
to know the meta to know if this is canon or not with
Right.
the other movie that you liked, right? Yeah, so he says they're working on that. There was a set photo, the first official set photo of Supergirl was released, and it's just the actress in the chair with the S logo on the back of the chair. Can't really see much because it's the back of her head in focus and everything else is kind of blurred out. But are you pulling it up?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, kind of cool. Do you know who this actress is?
Millie Alcock, I might be butchering that name. She played young Rhaenyra in, first season of House of Dragon.
Yes, that's why she looks familiar.
Yeah, so she'll be lots of fun. It's cool that we're getting a set photo, because I remember the first one we got for Superman was really exciting as well, because we got to see the suit. And so hopefully sometime in the coming months, we'll get to see a, probably after the Superman movie releases, we'll get to see a photo of what the Supergirl suit looks like, which would be kind of cool.
Totally. Or maybe even get like a neat little end credit scene.
Right. That would be cool. I didn't even think about end credit scenes. I know that sounds silly, right? Because like it's a superhero movie, of course, right? But I probably wouldn't have thought about it until I was in the theater.
Right, where you're sitting there and you're like, there's got to be more, right?
right. Yeah, that's a fun idea. Yeah, because it might be setting up, because I believe that's the next movie to come out. It will be Supergirl.
That's interesting. I never really attributed that. But yeah, like end credit scenes are kind of specific to superhero movies, where it is like a franchise and they're setting up something bigger, something better, like something that we are all aware of, right? Because of the comic books.
Yeah, because that end credit scene will probably lead into Supergirl, or who knows, they might pull a kind of something like Spider-Man where they'll have two, where one will be mid-credit scene and it'll be somewhat relevant, and then there'll be like a post-credit scene where it's something goofy like the Captain America video.
Yeah.
Which is always fun.
Or they could even just do like a straight up Deadpool where like it's just worthless. Right. Like he just walks out in the bathrobe.
Right, the Ferris Bueller thing. Still so here? Good.
Yeah.
But yeah, set photo was fun. Another thing, James Gunn has said that because a fan asked him, like, oh, like, what have you been working on recently? Like, has it been mostly post-production on Superman and Peacemaker season 2? And he replied and was like, yeah, it's Superman post-production, Peacemaker season 2 post-production, which I didn't know Peacemaker season 2 was in post-production. That's awesome.
That's super. Is that set to come out this year?
It must be.
Okay.
So that's pretty exciting.
Totally.
But then he said, yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of that. I've been looking at dailies for other projects.
All right.
And I'm in the pre-writing phase of my next DCU project, is what he said.
Oh, did he drop any titles?
No, people are wondering what it is. The thing is they did kind of announce when he first was like, oh, I'm doing the DCU thing. They had kind of a list of like projects they were going to do for this first like chapter, they called it. People are kind of picking from that. A popular one is Booster Gold. I think they're wanting to make that into a TV show. And Booster Gold is a character that I want to say he's like super far into the future. And he basically steals a bunch of technology from then and then goes back to our present day. So he's like a superhero in everyone's eyes. And he's like a pretty like self-absorbed person.
Right.
But he is like essentially a good guy, but he's kind of like,
that's kind of a fun dynamic, right?
Totally.
Where, like, he can just be maybe a loser or like an arrogant like idiot in the future, but he comes back and like people would just revere him as a superhero as long as he does good with his tech.
Right. It's a fun idea. I think anything that he will write will end up being fun. I mean, and if he gets other people to write these projects, I'd imagine he would choose only like the best writers, right? What do you think like it could be? Do you have any fun ideas of what this project you could be working on?
I mean, it could be any number of things. With them like doing a hard reset on the majority of the DC universe, I mean, they're not keeping anything as canon, are they? I mean, they're essentially wiping it a clean slate after the Flash movie, just saying new universe.
Spiders, I know.
This is just how we're going to like be doing things, which is exciting, especially with like the new look at the new Superman. Maybe as sad as it would be to lose some of these movies that we did love, and less sad to maybe get a fresh take on the ones that were less well received. Personally, I would love for them to try for a movie that we didn't get originally. One thing I was super stoked for was the Cyborg movie.
Right.
Who like, you know, crazy awesome character in general, and had really cool dynamic and powers in the Justice League, right? But we only got like a minor backstory on him.
Yeah, and I would love, especially in the theatrical version, that was pretty rough as far as Cyborg side.
Yeah,
Snyder Cut really fleshed him out, but still, I'm with you, more would have been great.
Totally. Totally. So that's the first thing that comes to mind. But honestly, you make a good point that, like, as long as James Gunn is involved, like, it's likely it'll turn out well. You mentioned that he's working on several things at once. And honestly, that just makes me excited. Not worried that he's, like, stretched too thin or anything like that, but just that, like, he'll have kind of just, like, a pull, like, an idea of, like, where things should go and, like, some creative control around kind of where this universe is going. He's, like, going to be able to shape things from the top. And I feel like that'll be necessary.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Because, yeah, in his position, he can literally be writing anything he wants. Like, he could be writing the new Batman. He could be pre-writing the Themyscira show that they were talking about doing. And, yeah, it's pretty exciting. Another thing that I think a fan had asked him about, but he did come out and say, as far as Clayface's fate in Creature Commandos, we got some word back on that. He's saying, his exact words are, the reports of Clayface's death have been greatly exaggerated. He is quite mushy, though. And that's all he says. So,
oh, that's brilliant. I love that.
Yeah, so I think he's still alive. So now that begs the question, what do you think the Clayface movie would be about? Do you think it'll still follow that progression? Do you think it'll try and do more of an origin?
Yeah, I'm curious if they're gonna, like, work on maintaining the chronologicality of things. That kind of seems that's how they would want to play it with the workings of Peacemaker season 2,
right?
You know, with
Rick Flag,
thank you. Right, because he's going to supposedly be in season 2, and we hadn't seen him before then, so it kind of seems like it would make sense for them to just keep moving through that whole bit with Weasel. They mentioned the Suicide Squad. Like, it seems like a natural progression. So conceivably following that, right, Clayface would be placed after that, but I would almost prefer, right, kind of from, like, his zero to villain, maybe not hero, like, backstory, right? Like, 100% just normal, everyday guy, and kind of where that takes him, and then maybe, like, a bit of his villain arc. I would love to see the actual origin, as fun as it would be to just see him beating up people.
Right. No, I think it'd be smart, even if they did do, like, chronological and it's after the movie begins with him already Clayface, it would be a very bold move to not include origin stuff, even if it's in flashbacks, because...
Well, he's not like Batman. He's not like Spider-Man. Like, these movies that, like, more recently, they've been able to skip over kind of that origin story because most people are very well aware of how they became who they are.
Right.
And, you know, Clayface isn't, like, entirely unknown, but he's not popular enough for them to do that.
No, not at all. I mean, I think it'd be nice for people to know, and I think origin stories, especially villain origin stories, give you a level of sympathy for the character, not necessarily, like, excusing, like, them becoming a villain, but
almost like understanding.
Yeah, just kind of that, like, it adds more layers, right? Like, totally. We were talking about with Ivy today, it's like, okay, I can see how she got from point A to point B now, and that makes me more invested in the character.
Totally. I mean, we discussed that at the end of the Penguin show, right? Yeah. Where, like, fantastic villain arc, you almost feel bad for him and you want him to win throughout the series, but we get to that final episode and you kind of hate him. You see why he's villainous.
Right.
I think that was masterfully done. But yeah, you can kind of see what led him up to that point. I think that is the brilliance of it, right? Not everybody is, like, all relating to that. As lovely as it is that, like, classic Superman, just heart of gold, would never do wrong, just loves good people and wants to be a good person. Like, I feel like a lot of us feel like we kind of have a bit of that darkness inside of us. So not all of us have that villain arc, but... it's kind of fun to see, like, just regular person, like somebody like me or you, right? That could just, like, just the wrong, like, circumstances. Snap, yeah. I don't know about you, but there's something kind of cerebral, something powerful about that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of, like, philosophers that'll be like, every person has the capacity for true good and true evil.
Right.
And I think that idea is what carries most of what storytelling is. And yeah, I hope that the Clayface movie takes full advantage of that. But it's nice to know that he's alive and that they can continue chronologically if they choose to do so.
Right. And to put it in such a way as details of his death are greatly exaggerated. I love that.
Well, this has been Podcast on Infinite Earths, an unofficial DC Studios podcast where we bring episodes to you every Monday. I'm your host, Porter.
And I'm your host, Tyson.
And we'll catch you next week.
See you later.